The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
This is absolute genius. Brace yourself, especially if you are a parent with kids in the house. I have an idea that is so great. You're going to love this. Right. Wait for the fanfare to
This new fanfare is
I know, I love
lot,
this new fanfare. Yeah. And it keeps going, too. That's
see.
What I love about it. So if you have kids in the house, you're going to love this idea.
Okay.
You want to take a nap, but you can't. Say they're 6 and 8 years old or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'm so tired, but what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Here's what you do. This is from Susan Peach on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
She said, here's what you do. Just pass this along. You tell the kids, hey, I'm going to take a nap.
Okay.
Wake me up in 30 minutes, and mm-hmm. we're all going to clean the house.
Okay.
This
brilliant,
is an
brilliant.
Absolutely genius idea.
You'll sleep for days.
What will happen is they will tiptoe around the house forever.
That's great.
Without making one, even the slightest noise to wake you up. The best ideas are listener ideas. Ideas from listeners to the show. My name is Brant, by the way. Producer Sherry is here. Shane Cox got on Facebook and said it would show a real solidarity
mm-hmm.
with the show. And I love this idea, Shane. He notes that I just got all my hair cut off.
Uh-huh.
And I have a little bit left here, but I had long, kind of wild hair. And
it looks wonderful.
Thank you.
Looks wonderful.
Thank you. Little side part.
Mm-hmm. Very
much
handsome.
Shorter. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Shane says you should get the same haircut.
Me?
Uh-huh. And it would show real solidarity for the show.
Okay.
For the producer.
Of course.
And
now I'm interested, and I'm not going to play any cards here, but I am interested why Shane didn't say that you should get my haircut.
That is interesting. I think it's too late.
It is?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It's not?
I can get you some braids if you
okay.
need them. I want you to believe I can work that
out.
You
told me it takes 6 hours at
That's
the
right.
hair place to get those put in.
That's right.
I don't...
Let's show some solidarity, Hanson.
Some of the worst ideas are listener ideas. It is time for Brant's Three Things Today. This came from a guy named Taylor Schumann. And Taylor was a victim of a mass shooting. And he survived and wrote, he's a believer, and he wrote something I thought was so interesting. Here's how you should pray. Because he was like, it's one thing to tweet, hey, prayers, thoughts and prayers, or prayers, like, okay, but how to pray. He's like, as a survivor, let me tell you how to pray. So I'll give you three ways to pray for people after something like what we saw this last weekend. Number one, he says, pray for invisible wounds. Just the PTSD that people go to. He said, pray specifically with regard to that. Pray for shielding from photos and information about the person who did it for these people because they don't want to have to relive it.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
People struggle with nightmares. It's a long process, but he's like, pray specifically for God to help people with invisible wounds. The second thing is praying for wisdom, specifically for the long haul with medical specialists, that they would have the wisdom to know how to treat people, because a lot of this stuff isn't just, you know, we pray the next day and then we move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pray for the long haul, because there's a lot of decisions that need made, and there's stuff that people deal with for years after something like this physically. So part of it was he was talking about the emotional trauma. But yes, for the medical professionals, doctors, nurses, all the specialists, that they would have wisdom that spans for months. This was very helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the third thing he said, pray that these people who've gone through this, the survivors, would be able to have a network with each other.
Mm.
It's very important. It doesn't have to be from the same event, but they'll find other people who can relate exactly to what they've been through so that they can heal. He said that was really huge for him. People need to connect and ask that God would forge those connections, that people would be able to heal through that shared experience. He's like, we don't think about that, but again, that's a great thing to pray for, that people would find each other and connect to the right people, because that's how healing is going to happen. I want to make a major confession. And
okay.
And that confession is that I... Here it is.
Oh, look.
We have breaking animal news.
Oh, you got me there,
yeah,
Grant Hanson.
I did, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I leaned in.
I really struggled, though, to find the news theme.
Well, that built the suspense.
I know.
Actually.
I didn't need it to stretch out like that. I meant it to be like a quick little funny thing, and then it like just kept going.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I get it.
We're breaking animal news. Whenever animals do stuff, we want to report it to you, because mm-hmm. every other news network is focused on humans this, humans that. Look at these humans over here. Look at those humans. All right.
That's true.
So there's animals doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
and awesome stuff. For
like,
example, this is one of the first times in history anything like this has happened to our knowledge.
Okay.
There is a dolphin that's a mom. Mm-hmm. Okay, dolphins are mammals, so they give birth to just one usually. And they take care, they nurse their young.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's got a daughter, dolphin, that follows her around, right?
Yes.
So far, this is a good story.
Sure.
There's also this orphan whale nearby, and she has adopted the whale. It's called a melon-headed whale.
Mm-hmm.
And don't call people that, by the way. Just occurred to me. Anyway, she has adopted this whale and taken it into her home. And so
her home.
Well, the ocean. I mean, she's swimming
well,
around with it.
Well, the whale's going to be in the ocean
figuratively.
Anyway,
but, okay. I'm not saying like a literal address. All right. Anyway, that's very rare among mammals to take something from another species
yeah.
and adopt it into your family. And she even lets it kind of push the daughter out of the way sometimes. And they push each other like siblings, you know. And
I don't
it's
think
really,
that's safe. With
no,
the,
it's not.
With
I didn't
the,
say it's
the,
safe.
I mean,
saying,
the whale has a melon head for crying out loud. So you don't.
I knew you would seize on that. The point is, this is a beautiful story. And it's very rare in the mammal world.
I don't know about this.
We'll keep you posted on mammal news as news breaks out. So we've been talking about this the last couple of days, and I hope that's all right, because it's so important, honestly, is why I wanted to talk about it. But, like, the nature of our culture now, where everybody's supposed to be a free agent.
Mm.
Like, that's the idea. I want to be free, to be happy, to do whatever I want. And if anybody comes along and says, no, this is what life is all about, like, hey, man. Don't put it on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to live out my truth, whatever. What we've been saying is that is actually a prescription for loneliness and depression. You don't realize that there's meaning in life otherwise. And I just saw a study. This is from the UK, but it's basically the same culture.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit more post-Christian than we are. They're a little further down the line. We're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's of people between 18 and 29 years old. 89%. Please hear this. 89% of people between 18 and 29 said they feel like life is meaningless and has no purpose.
Oh, my gosh.
89%.
What was the age range again?
18 to 29. So it's young adults who are realizing, like, there's no meaning. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is why we just keep saying this. Like, hey, whatever critique you want to give about Christianity, or whatever, I can talk to you about that. That's fine. I get it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But also critique the culture. Is it actually working?
Yeah.
Is the alternative actually working? 89%, it's meaningless. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. By the way, thank you to Mike and Brian are their names. They are the guys with Fellowship Home Loans. And if you need to buy a house or refinance or something, be sure to talk to them. I think they're just different, the way they do things. It's refreshing. You might be interested. We appreciate them coming alongside our podcast, too, as sponsors. It's fellowshiphomeloans.com. You can find out more about them, fellowshiphomeloans.com. They're very creative, and they listen, and we love that. Their phone number, too, is 800-804-SAVE, 800-804-SAVE. Man, this just hits you so hard. This study, we just talked about this. Maybe you caught it, but 89% of young adults in this study in the UK, so basically the same culture, 89% said they think life is meaningless. I'm not making this up.
So young. Man.
89%. So the reason I want to throw this out, in case you're listening and you're like, well, I struggle with that too. I don't see it. Well, what are we for then? What's the point? Like, I'll tell you. We are made, me too, made for relationship with God, with people. We're made for relationship. This is what we're made for. So it's like if anything's designed, an internal logic, a computer, a robot, whatever you design, like if it doesn't know what, like if you don't know what it's for, it's worthless. And you feel that way. I feel worthless.
Yeah.
What is the point? But that's what we're made for. The problem is you can't stay totally free and be in relationship with people. If being in real relationship means sacrificing freedom, whether you're a parent, whether it's a marriage, even just good friendship over time, being in the village together, being in a community, like a church community, you can't stay totally free and be in a relationship. It doesn't work like that. And if you do stay totally free, you'll wind up feeling like life is meaningless. You know, it can be really discouraging to people. I have found in Christendom. Yeah. You know what can be really discouraging, I think? Fake real. And what I mean by that is if I'm acting like, hey, let's get real, and I disclose something, it's really not a disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Not like it doesn't actually tell you who I really am. Yeah. It might be something from way back in the past.
Oh, or it's always from Stagecoach days.
Always.
Totally. Way
I used to.
Back
let's
in
get
the
real.
Day.
I used to blah, blah, blah. And I think that's, I think it really hurts people because it makes you think if you're just listening to me and I do that.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, I'm being real, but I'm actually making myself look kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
It might make you think, man, I'm a real spiritual loser because I'm actually addicted to this.
Right. Right.
And I just did that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to tell you, forgive us when we ever do that and we soft pedal our faults.
Mm.
I'm going to do my best to be real, real, including like present tense, struggles now. And it may not make me look good. Like there may be people walking away going, I'm not going to listen to him because he's so messed up. That's the risk you run. But you know what? That's what risk we're willing to take here, because why not? You know, God ultimately is who we're trying to lift up and on us. Okay, so let's be real real, not fake real. Mm-hmm. Fake real is when I say, hey, let's get real, and I reveal something that's really not that revealing.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's something I got over.
It's really nicely painted and nicely polished.
Yeah. I really struggle with saying darn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a cussing guy.
Right, right.
But that's a way for me to make somebody feel terrible, because if you are somebody who struggles with your language and you hear, oh, that guy is being real, like, oh man, I must be horrible.
If that's real, I don't know who I am.
Let me tell you something that's really real.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with right now. I want to be significant.
Mm.
I want people to listen to me and think, wow, that guy is really important at some level. And I do and I don't. I mean, there is a don't there because I know that's immaturity, but I still deal with that. I want people, I feel disrespected if somebody's talking about some other book that's the same as mine, but they're talking about that one. And it's silly, it's child stuff, but I'm telling you, it's quite real.
Mm.
And I want to get over this. I read a comment, by the way, somebody put a comment on a thing I had written today, and it was someone going, well, I'm really growing in this area. I'm trying to learn. God's humbling me, I feel like. And later on in the comment, this woman reveals, I'm 83 years old. And I'm like, this is the best comment I have ever read, because
nice.
I want to be growing when I'm 83 and humble and learning and not caught up in myself like I am now. Okay, so just letting you know, off the air, Sherry and I started talking about the evil of fake real, which is when we act like we're being real, but we're actually putting ourselves in a nice light.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So and you may even know how to do this if you've been around church culture for a while. It's the fake humble.
Yeah.
But really, I'm coming off awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologize for that, but I just tried to disclose something that I'm struggling with right now.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's Sherry's turn. I'll totally put you on the spot.
Thank you.
Something that people will struggle, like, should I even listen to these people now after this? That's not a backhanded.
No.
I'm still good. Okay.
Go. I am struggling with and continue to struggle with just an insatiable, it seems, appetite.
Huh.
For everything.
Huh.
And gluttony is my bent, and it's not just food. It's anything in excess.
Huh.
And I even, the last several weeks, and this will sound like I am bragging, but I'm not. The last several weeks, I have been fasting because I'm trying to curb that thing in me that delayed gratification is not something I'm good at all. I'm so used to my mindset is go get it. If you want it, go get it. The desire validates the behavior. And I fight that, and I've been fighting it more now than I have as of late. I don't know what that means.
Why is that so moving to me? That makes me emotional for some reason. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I'm sorry.
No, it's
I guess
okay.
I guess I'm sorry that you're having to deal with that. Like, and I know that's your personality type.
It is.
And so, and I know how how we have a real enemy that takes our desires and distorts them and then uses it to discourage us and stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's a fight.
I'm glad you said that, though, because I think a lot of people can relate to it. And again, if people listen to you, and they mm-hmm. should listen to you at times and go, wow, she's got a lot of spiritual maturity, which you do.
Thank you.
But to hear that, like, it's got to be helpful.
I hope so.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.